Ready on the right.
Hey, yo, calm down, niggas.
Ready on the left.
Hey, yo, calm down, niggas.
Ready on the right.
Hey, yo, calm down, niggas.
Ready on the left.
Oh yeah, that's it. That's what we're talking about. Hey everybody, welcome to another, I guess, naughty show with Sam Tripley. I'm here to announce that I'm going to be starting a new podcast. It's called Twisted. I kind of talked about it on Punch Drunk. I might have talked about it last week, but that's the name. It's going to be called Twisted with Sam Tripley. The naughty show will still keep going. Again, I'm just trying to figure out how to get you guys video of it the way I want to do it. So until then, I got a lot of feedback from last week's solo, and everybody seemed to really like it. So I'm excited about it. So I'm just going to go with it and have fun with it and see what happens. And, you know, the feedback was great. Everybody said, you know, we really like it. You should have somebody there who tells you that when you're wrong, because you're wrong a lot. And I'll accept that. I ain't afraid. Hey, real quick, do we have the timer thingy too? Yeah. So I can just see, because I liked that last week where I could like see how long I was going, timing it. Because I'm going to do an hour. There we go. So we're a minute 40 in this. We got a little ways to go. So that's the show. It's going to be a podcast of me just talking about things going on in my life, my stories, my take on everything, like this Kim Kardashian ass, which has blown up the internet. I mean, if you ever want to wonder whether we're monkeys or not, just look at that Kim Kardashian ass and you'll realize instantly, if you're a male, you are a monkey. You have monkey primate DNA. And that just makes you want to go, that's all that picture does. You know, I'm just going to say this about Kim Kardashian. As much crap as she gets, as much she is a piñata of hate for people saying that she's famous for no good reason at all, I would tell you, you just saw the reason she's famous. She is the Michael Jordan of promotions. Her ability to promote what she has is the best ever. She just took a picture and photoshopped her ass, and the internet exploded. Her ass should be nicknamed Galacticus because it's here to destroy worlds. I mean, just destroy worlds, man. When people go, Sam, you don't want to look at this. Well, you won't be able to go on with your life. I'm like, I got to see it. Bam! And I saw it, and I was just like, I was so happy. Because I'm an Armenian. I think I'm black. It just works into my whole kind of wheelhouse. A big, fat ass. And I'm really happy women saw that because, you know, I'm really tired of women thinking men are attracted to stick figures. Dude, nothing is a bigger turnoff than a chick running around with the ass of a 15-year-old boy. Anybody else, like, where is your, I mean, I don't care how cute your face is. If you got no ass, it ain't happening. I mean, heads exploded with that picture. And all of a sudden now, what's the hottest newspaper, the hottest magazine in the world? Paper. Anyone ever heard of paper? I have no clue what paper is about. Does anyone know what paper is about? Does anyone know what that magazine is selling? What are we doing? It could be about anything. It could be about Tupperware, but people are going to buy it. Tupperware. It could be about 9/11 conspiracy theories. It could be like Nancy Grace used to be a man. We don't know what that paper is going to cover, but we know on the cover is what quite possibly would be one of the greatest asses of all time. So, yeah, I just want to get into that. So if you're listening to this, it means your head didn't explode from that incredible picture. And then you got to feel bad for the other Kardashian sisters because, you know, they're like, what can I do that can get close to that? You can't. One of you is Sasquatch. The other one is just a tiny little girl. You cannot compete with that. And she's the best at that. And we should respect that. That Kim Kardashian is just here to stay. That picture, I don't know what else. I mean, what can you compare that picture in terms of, like, the amount of excitement? Everywhere, go anywhere, people are talking about that picture. Jay Moore's talking about it on a sports podcast. Huffington Post has it as an article to read. That's a progressive newspaper. And they still are in awe of that ass. And everyone's like, it's Photoshop. I don't care. I don't care. Means nothing to me. It's if I can stare at it and it gets my blood flowing and it makes me want to do monkey shit, I'm in. It can be photoshopped all day, every day. Who cares? Same thing with fake tits. Oh, our tits are fake. I don't care. Does not mean anything to me. As long as it hits the sweet spot, that's all that matters with me. Huh? Do girls do that when someone's like worth $50 million? They're like, well, it's all credit. He's not really worth that. They don't give a shit. They don't care. Nobody cares. I don't give a rat's ass. So anyways, thanks for tuning in to The Naughty Show, a.k.a. Twisted. It's Twisted. I like Twisted because you can go a whole bunch of different ways with it. You know, don't get me twisted. I got twisted, sick and twisted. Twist and shout. I don't know. But it's got a bunch of things I can go with. I think it's funny. I was trying to come up. My one friend wanted me to do King of Chaos. I don't know. That just sounds like pro wrestling. I like chaos, though. I live for chaos. I was also going to go Sinners Are Winners, maybe. I don't know. But I like Twisted. I think it's perfect. I think I can do a lot of fun logo stuff with that. And we'll go from there. And if after a while nobody listens to this podcast, I'll go away. And you'll never hear from me again. I'm getting so close to moving to Vegas and selling candies in a strip bar bathrooms. So you guys don't even know. That's a steady job. That's a steady job. You just got to be able to time it so when someone goes there high on blow and just destroys the bathroom, you can get out of there. Because if you lose a little product, well, if someone just grabs a handful of your candies, you're out what? 30 cents? They can lift your product. You'll be fine. It's better than... I mean, dude, you ever done that? You ever gone to a public bathroom? They have a guy. They have actually a poop valet there. A poop valet in the bathroom whose whole job is to make sure you... Is he there to make sure you get a towel paper? Is he there to make sure you wash your hands? That'd be better, right? If he was just that guy and his whole thing was a door goalie and he didn't let you out unless you wash your hands. I'd be fine with that, right? Because who knows how many people go in there, do their duty, and then don't even wash their hands. Do you wash your hands every time after you take a piss? Every time? Yeah, me too. But I don't think everybody else does. I can't wash my hands enough after a poop, though. I just can't. If there's a way to, like, singe off my hands and grow them right back immediately, I would do it. It's for such a primal, basic thing, it is literally one of the most disgusting things. I know. Every time I do it, it's literally like I'm the guy from Memento, and every time I poop, I it's like, oh my God, what is this? Why did I just do that? Oh God, oh, I do that all the time, sometimes three times a day. What is wrong with me? I'll never adjust to poop. What I do find shocking is when people, let me rephrase. I'm always amazed by how much people love poop jokes. Like, I literally have this poop joke right now that gets me, like, several applause breaks. Like, people have to stop laughing to show their appreciation for how well-written my poop joke is for me almost shitting my pants on a plane. I was so close to shitting my pants. I can't think of anything worse than to shit your pants on a plane. I'd rather be with snakes on a plane than be with someone who shit their pants. That's literally how much I hate the act of pooping. So, yeah, that's... I don't know where I was going with that, but you know. So, I'm going to make some t-shirts, Twisted. If you guys have any funny ideas. I really want to thank everybody who hit me up. I had a bunch of people hit me up on the internet and said they really enjoyed the 1 hour. I'm very thankful for it. I think it's very cool that you guys took time to listen to it, give it to a chance. And I appreciate all your feedback. All you guys were great. It's real great. I'm going to start. If you hit me up, you say something nice, next time I'll read your stuff on this podcast. Let's get into our sponsors. Bam! Our sponsors. Once again, we are sponsored by a quote-unquote think tank, so they say. We are actually sponsored by MK Culture. MKCultura.org. Check it out. It's for all your positive energy needs. Basically, they wanted me to let you know this week. Once again, they are not a cult. I cannot call them a cult. From what I've been told, they are not a cult. All right. I think they are. But They told me I cannot. They got a little angry with me last time because I just decided to just go with it. But, hey, I think you're a cult. Basically, they wanted to let me know, and they wanted me to tell you. I'm just trying to pull up the exact address so I can get you guys. MKCultra.org. It's MKCultra.org. God, are my fingers getting fatter, or is the new iPhone just hard to type on? Like, is it hard to type on? I feel like the letters are even smaller than before, and you just look like right in the middle of your text you had a heart attack. Hey, you gotta come over to the place, or what? So it's MK/Cultura.org for all your needs. And here's what they want me to tell you. That Article 5 has just been evoked. And if they could remember their pre-life instructions, that'd be great. That's literally the note I got for this week. So let's remember, that's MKCultura.org. Thank you guys very much. Also, TubeStart. Big thing going on here at All Things Comedy. People are really excited about it. $5. $5. That's all it takes for you to go out there and help this studio that's already looking great. Would you say we're a third there or halfway there? We're halfway there. Halfway there to greatness. It's literally going to be so good. Going to have, well, we can't tell you what we don't know what we're doing. We just know we're going down the road. Have some televisions here for you to look at. Skype's going to be in. And I know you guys are big Punch Drunk fans, which means the Jew's going to be able to Skype in. By the way, new t-shirts for Punch Drunk are going to be available. Very excited. Why would I lie? And then we're going to get Jew balls for Ari next. So everyone's excited about that. So that's going on. So go to tubestart.org.com. Was org not available? Is org like, do you guys spend a lot of money on org? Is that like, because it's supposed to be like some official government shit? Can porn get org.org? Like interracial gangbang.org? Imagine if there was someone who's in charge of regulation of interracial gangbangs to make sure you meet quality. Do you think if they gave porn ratings, it would matter to people? Like if they literally like thumbs up, like this is quality porn, this is not quality porn. Like, does Rotten Tomatoes do pornography? Do you think anyone would care? It's either hit your wheelhouse or it doesn't. All right, well, TubeStarter.com. We'll get it going. And it's going to be, help out, man. You want to see my pretty face, you got to help get some cameras. If you want to see a piece of this man heat, get it. Get some. Help out. It's only five. Now it's $5. That's a minimum you gotta get. $5. Boom. There you go. Thank you. Guess what? You know, you can't get a PBR at the bar. One can of bad redneck beer. One can. That's all it. One can. That's all it is. You know. But if you go $10, what do you get? $10. You get a mug. $25, you get a t-shirt. $50, you get a call from me thanking you for doing it. You donate $50, I will call you and thank you. Or you can give me one. Here's what I'm doing for this. If you donate $50, I will call up anybody you want and say whatever you want me to say to whoever you want. Let's say you finally want to break up with your girlfriend, but you don't got the cojones to do it. I'll call her up and break up for you. Let's say you're pregnant by the guy that you just met one night and you got to let him know. I will call him up and let him know he's going to be a daddy. You just got to donate $50, man. $50. $50 is nothing. It's really nothing. So help out. You help us, help us, help you, help us. So that's what we got going on. Super excited about it. 15 minutes of just talking out my ass. That wasn't bad, right? And we're just getting into fun. A lot of stuff going on during the week. I had a great week. I went to Las Vegas. Anyone, you guys been to Vegas lately? Yeah. A lot of people don't like Vegas. I like Vegas. I went to college out there as a running rebel. 6 years of college. I took my time. Dude, if you're in college, you're listening to this, do not hurry. There's no reason. When you got out of college, did you do anything productive for 2 years after it? Nah. You know what I did after I graduated from the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, running Rebels? I went and worked at Deja Vu Showgirls for a year as a gift to myself for putting myself through college. It was the most broke I've ever been in my life and the most fun I've ever had. It's just fun. It was just crazy. I got to work there. So don't be in a hurry to graduate college. Out there is ugly. It's ugly, right? You remember when you were young in college, you thought that was how life was always going to be? You were getting laid left and right. You were drinking all the time. You showed up to class. You didn't show up. I don't remember doing any homework ever in college. I've used zero skills from college. Anything I learned in a class, I have never used once in my life. I don't remember any of it. I wouldn't. Dude, stay in college forever. I had a friend of mine that did almost like 18 years of college. She became like an anesthesiologist. She's a doctor now. I don't know if she's happy or not. I think she's happy. She's a really good friend of mine. My friend Lacey, she married some guy from Costa Rica, which is this new thing that chicks are doing. I call it green card dick. Because, like, you always see, like, these creepy old white guys with these Asian women. You know, they got them off some website, you know, datedmeetachick.com. That's what women are doing now. Like, these women who are, like, 35, 45, they're going down to Costa Rica or these third world countries and just getting green card dick. And I have no problems with that. Why not? Those guys will bang you. Why you got to compete with 20-year-olds here when you'll get some quality third-world dick? And that's just my opinion. I've had 2 or 3 friends do that right now. You should do it. Why not? Why not? They'll try it. And if there's anyone who can get a 40-year-old woman pregnant, it's a third-world dick. They got magic. I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, you can get mad at me if you want to. I'm just calling like I see it. And if you're lonely and you're 40 and you're tired of going to bars competing with 20-year-old snatch, go get yourself some quality green card dick. I should start a website just dedicated to that. Mature women with money meet fucking poor green card dick. Make it happen for each other. So, yeah. So, I go to Vegas. I drive out there with Dana, my girlfriend. Dana is a producer. She's been producing rock videos forever, her whole life. I mean, she's been, dude, let me tell you something. Dana, she is actually, you can actually find her in the new book that came out about the beginning years of MTV. This is a true story. Dana, my girlfriend, is the reason why Guns N' Roses and INXS got on MTV. She was there way back in the day, and she would just put her name on the line for these bands so that MTV would actually show them. Guns N' Roses, she begged her boss to do their first television concert. And he goes, if this bombs, you're fired. She goes, good. And they just took off from there. So Dana is a rock and roll woman. And she always, Dana, there's a couple things called, you ever heard of Black Time, someone who's on Black Time, Armo Time, whatever group you are, there's a time. Like Armenians, like I'm Armenian. Oh man, I forgot to get into my dates too. I'll finish the story, then we'll get into it. Armenian time, which is like 30, 40 minutes after whenever you're supposed to be there. And Dana's always on Rockstar Time, which is, if she says we're going to leave at 10, in the morning, we're leaving at noon. It's never on time, ever. So we say we're going to leave at noon. We don't leave till 2:30 in the afternoon. So we're driving out of L.A. in 2:30 traffic. And if you don't live in Los Angeles, just know it is like a clogged artery. It is like Paula Deen's heart. It's just like there's no flow going on. And it's like amazing how many people are on the streets if you're not from Los Angeles. It's mind-blowing. I've taken people from my hometown, Cortland, New York, who've come out to see me, and they want to take pictures of the traffic. They can't, there's, at any time on the 405 from like three exits down, there's more people on the 405 than in my hometown. That's how many people. It's like if I was a cat burglar, I would rob people from the hours of like 9 a.m. I'd say like 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. No, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. And then again at 4 p.m. to about 7 p.m. when everybody's stuck in traffic. Is there anybody home during those hours? Just comedians who've just went to sleep from boom, blow all night. I can't believe how many people are on this. It's mind-blowing how much traffic there is. Have I talked about, I know I've only done this for a second time. Did I talk about running for office for mayor? Have I talked about what I'm going to do when I run for mayor? Okay, I'm running for mayor. I announced it on KLOS, Fraser Smith's show, Sunday night. I'm running for mayor. Here's what I'm running on, only on four issues. That's it. And as soon as I get those done, I'm quitting. Here are my issues. First off, no road construction in the city of Los Angeles. You can only do road construction from the hours of 2 a.m. to about 7 a.m. That's when nobody's out there. You can't do it during the day because you're fucking traffic up, man. We can't get anywhere. I'm recording this podcast at 3 p.m. I had to leave my place at 1 to get here, basically, because there's so much fucking traffic now. So no construction from the hours of, total construction or only construction from the hours of about 1:30 a.m. until about 7 a.m. That's it. So you don't fuck traffic up. Second thing is valets cannot use metered parking to valet park your car. That is the biggest scam in the history. I'm giving you $5 to park it on the street. Is my car safe? Oh, well, we're not responsible. Then why am I giving you my car? That's the biggest scam ever. Third thing is no marches, runs, hikes, demonstrations in the city of Hollywood, California. You can only do it down on Slauson or by the Staples Center downtown. I don't care. I get it. You're marching for AIDS. Thank you. But you just fuck traffic up. You've made my traffic like AIDS. I feel like I have AIDS from being stuck in this car because I gotta go all the way around. It's fucking ridiculous. And I have one more and I can't think of it. So that's what I'm running for mayor. I don't know if I'll win. I'll probably decriminalize drugs completely. Maybe there's just, I don't know. Why should there even be a fine? Oh, you got coke on you. Here's a $50. Why? How about this? Should be like beer. I just can't drink it out in the public. That's all it should be. And if I got a problem, just like liquor, I got to go seek help. And that's where I'm at on that one. So we drive to, it literally takes us from Los Angeles, California to Las Vegas. It takes us 7 hours. It shouldn't be like that. It's like usually a 4-hour trip at the most, which I love to do. Do you like to drive? I love to drive to Vegas because you can just zone out. Of course, I'm with my girlfriend, so I can't zone out because she constantly has to do a heat check on our relationship. Why aren't you talking? What's wrong? Do you even hear what I had to say? It's like, oh my God, it's so brutal. It's like when you date a woman, it's like you're playing outfield in a baseball game, but a million pitches have been hit your way. A million balls have been hit your way. And you got to catch all of them or else you get yelled at. You only catch so many balls. So that was a whole drive of that. But we got there. So we get there and here's the thing. Dana is a gambler. I've had my problems with drugs, sex. I pretty much, if there's something to be addicted to, I've been addicted to it. Like I got sober and I just started buying domain names all over. Like I got addicted to buying domain names. So I have like 50 domain names. Dana's addicted to gambling. Dana, listen to this, won $2,500 on penny slots. Have you ever heard of that? on penny slots, man? That's like every penny in the world. Have you ever seen $2,500 in pennies? I've never seen it. That's the equivalent of winning like Mega Lotto or something like that. I've never heard of anyone winning $2,500 in pennies. I mean, she just has this itch. Like, she itches to get down to the... And she just sits there, and she'll sit there for hours. And I come down, and I'm like, she's... And I... She won $2,500, and she gave back about $1,800 of it. Ugh. I really was like, I think you're walking home. That warrants a walk. That warrants me going, I'm putting you on the Greyhound bus for your own good to teach you a lesson that when you win, because what would happen was she would get up to $600 and she's like, I want $700 because she wants to take a picture of the penny slot saying $700. Well, that's great if you can get there. But if not, you got to do a reality check. Like, okay, I'm at $625. If this thing drops down to like $645 or $545, I got to call it a day. She did that three times. She gave it all back. Three times she got up to $600, gave it all back. Unbelievable. Right? It's ridiculous. You ever win $600 on penny slots, you walk away. You get in your car, you drive back to wherever you came from. Because that's as good as it's going to get. We stay at this place called the a new hotel. I'm not going to say the name. But, like, this hipster shit's got to go. Like, this whole cool thing, like, oh, man, we're just, like, we're just hipster. We're just cool. We're overcool. The shower had no door. There's no shower door to the shower. So it just flooded everything. Like, why is that hip and cool? There's no closet. There's no closet for your stuff. There's nowhere to hang your stuff in this hotel room. Why is that acceptable? But we stayed there because we made the mistake of going to Vegas on a week when like eight different conventions were going on. There was like a gun show, a cool car, like a classic car convention. It was like a bunch of stuff going on. Some kind of rodeo, I think, was going on. I saw a bunch of fucking Mexicans and cowboy hats. Mexicans are great. I don't care. I love them. They're just great people. They're just interesting, fun people who just love the party. And their chicks are great because they can be filthy and a lady all at the same time, which white women can't do. White women, whichever side you fall on Jesus determines what kind of chick you are. Like, if you're cool, if you're like, you're really into Jesus, you know, you're horrible, lay in bed. Or you're just not in Jesus and you're just crazy. White girls can't do that. Mexican girls can. It's pretty sweet. So anyways, we go to Vegas, and I gotta say this about Vegas. My prediction is, and you heard it here, Vegas is going to be a artist community soon. It's going to be a place where artists go to make money. It is going to be a version of New York City West, even though it's not as cool as New York City. Don't pound me on that. But it's going to be a city where you can actually make a living performing. And you don't see that a lot of places. Because what's going on is all these amazing hotels are opening, and they're all opening 1, 2, 3 theaters. And then what they're doing now in these theaters, instead of having one show in these theaters, they now have a show from like 2 p.m., all the way up to about midnight, and every 2 hours a new show comes. So it's actually a place where you can go and produce a show and make money. Because people go to Vegas to do a couple things. Drink, gamble, and be entertained. Now, a show like any of the Cirque du Soleil shows, to go see a ticket, to go see a show, it's going to cost you about $150. It's going to cost you $150. But if you did a show for like $30, people's head will go crazy. They'd love it. Whoa, only a show for $30. Try doing a $30 show in Los Angeles. Nobody's going. Nobody will go to that show. Unless you're a huge, huge national touring act and you're playing like the Hollywood Bowl. Nobody pays for tickets out here. Hey, can I get on the guest list? And I get it, man. I'm a comedian. I'm an entertainer. Like, hey, can I get on the list? And I'm like, I feel awful asking it because that's a big reason why I don't do naughty shows in LA anymore, because nobody wants to pay for a ticket. And these entertainers I put in a show need to get paid. They need to get paid a lot. Not a lot, actually, not that much at all. But it's like, that's their gig. It's very hard to ask people to do something that they do for a living for free. It's a little rude, unless it's a major charity. But it's like LA, nobody wants to pay for tickets. The hottest comedy shows in this town, most of them are guest list shows. So everybody's making money except for the entertainers. But you go to Vegas, you group on your show, you could sell. You say, hey, man, my show is normally $50. It's really, but I'm going to give it to you for $20. Which is classic Melrose Avenue back in the day. Like, we're talking like 1999-ish. Melrose, where I used to live by in Hollywood, they would set up these shows, and they'd literally get these, like, high school chicks who look like strippers to stand outside. And they were all owned by Israelis. Cool-ass guys. These fucking Israelis. They'd own, like, 5 or 6 of these stores. And they would just get super hot, like, high school chicks to work. I mean, like, hot. Hot. And they would just sit outside, and they would just catch guys going in. And what they do is they're like, oh, come in, we got a sale. They're like, because I like you, this is normally a $50 shirt. I give it to you for $30. You're like, oh, my God, I get to talk to a chick with tits, and I get a discount on a shirt that's going to fucking unravel after I wash it one time. And that's how they did business the whole time. And that's how it just went, dude. That's how it just went. I don't know where I went with that. I always forget where I'm going with this shit. But yeah, that's how it goes. So Vegas was great. Why did I bring up Melrose? Do you remember it all?
Just the discount tickets.
Oh, yeah. Great job. Yeah, Groupon. That's what they do on Groupon. They'll just jack the price, and they cut in half, and it's just the original price. But you feel like you got a deal. Thank you for that. Good catch on that. Real quick, I want to get into where I'm going to be gigging before I tell the rest of this Vegas story. I will be at the Sacramento Punchline this whole weekend, November 13th, 14th, 15th, Sacramento. Dude, come out. Enjoy the show. I put on a show. It's crazy time. It's a crazy fun show. It gets nuts. I'm really excited about meeting everybody. I love Sacramento. It's one of the best shows out there. I'm one of the best comedy clubs out there. Super excited about being there. So come on, hang out. Now, here's what's going on. If you come to my show, I am donating 30% of all my live merch sales to Movember, the movement to help, you know, recognize men and, you know, their cancer and their just basic health. Because I feel like men don't really pay attention to that. Until it falls off, we're not going to go to a doctor. So I'm donating 30% of all my sales, all my merch sales, to that cause. So come out, buy some stuff. I'm selling both my CDs. You're going to hear stuff from my new CD that I'm getting ready to put out. So we'll go from there. So come out, Sacramento Punchline, all this weekend, November 13th, 14th, and 15th. So I go to Vegas, and the big reason I wanted to go to Vegas, I had 2 days off in LA, and I had nothing to do. I started going nuts. I wanted to perform. I have a bunch of friends who run shows out in Vegas. Drove out there. I did some guest spots. I got to go out and hang out with my buddy Brett Ernst. Who's a very funny comic. Really great comic. Really great storyteller. This guy's crazy. And we did a show. And the first show is just like, it's so weird because nothing freaks comics out more, for the most part, is when a bunch of white hairs walk into a room. Because you're like, oh, old people. Oh, it's going to suck. There's a bunch of old people here. And it's crazy because sometimes they get it because you think about it. You know, it's like young people didn't invent sex or weird sex or kinky sex. Like, Donkey punching's been around for many a generation. Dirty Sanchez's. I'm sure you can find a black and white picture of some frontiersman out there fucking Dirty Sanchez-ing Pocahontas. I'm sure it's out there. Some weird-ass shit going on out there. We didn't invent it, so it depends on the crowd you get. Sometimes old people are like, yeah, man, we're just old. We still like the bone. We're just old. Yeah, there's a snow on the roof, but there's a fire in the furnace. So you get them, and sometimes they're just weird. And, like, I'm a weird comic because I can do an hour, hour and a half of comedy, or I could do a seven-minute set. And they're both very different, obviously, times, but how you deliver them. Seven-minute sets, like, get up there, don't even, and just start machine-gunning your punchlines. Boom, 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 boom. You got a packet full of bam, bam, bam. Now, an hour set headline, it's more of a journey of you, and it's ebbs and flows, and it's just, like, great stories, if you could tell some great stories. So I got to watch, I don't get to watch a lot of comedy. You know, I talked about this last week with Ari Shaffir's special. I don't get to watch a lot of comedy. So a big reason I went down to go gig with Brett was just to watch him perform because I haven't been able to watch my friends perform in a long time. And it's just fun to watch him perform. And all my friends are getting married, and they're all married now, and a lot of their material is about being married. But they're all, like, original, and they're all funny. They all have great takes on them. And by the way, getting married sounds horrible. Have you ever gone to see a comic who's like, God, this marriage thing is really working out. It's going, couldn't be happier. Man, my wife is 100% awesome. She doesn't crap my style. She does everything I want. She doesn't ask me to do anything I don't want. No, it sounds horrible. Yet we still do it. Right? It's like, and everybody's all excited about a wedding. Even though, you know, it's like, it sounds like everyone's about to get really miserable. That's why I think I get married older. At least for a man. Like, I'm in my 40s. I could get married. If I wanted to get married, this would be the time to get married. Because I hate going to clubs. Like I just could not care less about chasing chicks around. Like, when I was young 20 years ago, it was all on my mind. It's all I could think about. Now it's just like, I'd like to go to sleep. Like, a buddy of mine is like, he's 50. He started dating a 28-year-old, and she's totally cool with it. And he kept going, you know I'm 50. She's like, yeah, I love it. He's like, I'm 50. She's like, I know. You said it. Just like, because what he's saying is like, I ain't down for all that dumb shit. I'm not going to run to... I'm not going to fucking go to the club every night. That's just not how I am. I like to sleep. I can't imagine being 50. You wake up sleepy. So anyways, yeah. So it was just fun to watch Brett Ernst work. I really love the guy. So anyways, we go do a show. One of the big shows in Las Vegas is a show called The Dirty at 12:30. And it's basically at South Point. It's ran by a good friend of mine named Gabe Lopez, who's a really great guy. And basically, he books a headliner, and then anybody who's in town that night can come do a show. And most people are done with their shows that night, so they just run over there to do stand-up. And most of the clubs don't care because it's not competition. One, their show's already done. Two, they don't advertise who's going to show up so it doesn't draw business. And it's just funny. It's a bunch of locals, Vegas. Now, I've said this before. I don't know if I said it on this podcast. Vegas is blue-collar Los Angeles. It's like it's got all the hip and cool shit that's going on in L.A. happens out there. But everyone's got a real job, and they go to work. They go to work. But they laugh at dirty, funny shit. So this show is great. Dirty at 4:30. Edwin San Juan is hosting it. He's got a residency at the Paris Hotel or the Plant Hollywood. I think it's Plant Hollywood. He's a really funny Filipino comic. And then after him went Dat Fan. So we went super Asian right out the gate. Double Asian. Panda Express. I'm just yelling out racial shit right now. So they went up. They both did well. Before Dat Fan goes up, a guy named Scratch goes up. And he's a local Vegas comic who's kind of tours the country. Just kind of let you give the vibe of Scratch. Scratch is a really great guy. Scratch is a strip bar DJ from Florida. So you got the vibe right there. He used to work at Vince Neil's Rock and Roll Strip Bar where they only played rock music. And he's like, we only played rock music and there was only like five people in the club. Because chicks want to dance to hip-hop now. Hip-hop's, it's just where it's at. So he's going to do the show and he's a great guy. And he's kind of pacing before the show because I guess he's wanted to do the show for a long time, and he just hasn't been able to get up on it. And this time he's able to get on the show, which is cool. And he's a little nervous. So he goes up there, and boom, right out the gate, he starts getting heckled by these three guys who turn out to be Las Vegas police. These police guys. Now, Vegas police are different. I don't know if you're listening to this, what your cops are. I can only tell you what LA cops are. LA cops, they need so many police officers, they'll take anybody. So they'll take, like, midgets, like little tiny. I see tiny-ass cops out here, like 5'6" cops trying to regulate shit. That's not in Vegas, dude. Vegas cops are gigantic human beings. Like, they all look like they play linebacker for Nebraska. I mean, big, fat meatheads. Big, fat meatheads. So these cops, and they're a little older, so they look like they've probably, like, been in the force for a little while, and they just start heckling Scratch right out the gate. And, like, it throws him off. Because sometimes when you want to have a good show and someone heckles you, it really gets you angry. Like, I got heckled last night at the Comedy Store. I literally threatened violence to this guy because I just want to do my act. I don't need you commenting on this stuff. And usually I'm really good for it, but last night I was in a weird place. But this guy heckled, and, like, Scratch only has, like, 8 minutes. And now he's got to deal with this fire. He's got to put this fire out. And just, it goes bad fast. It doesn't do well, and he's angry. He's able to turn the crowd against this group. Everyone's booing these three guys. Deaf fan goes up, does his act. They probably liked him because he probably reminded them of all the women that they met in Vietnam. So they're probably like, that's a cute little Korean chick. So he does his act. He gets off stage. I thought he did great. He's like, ugh, I wasn't happy. So I go up, and I'm like, I'm just going to flamethrow this room. Because I have a rule in comedy. I got this very early in my life. I have always said my will to kill is stronger than the crowd's will not to laugh. My will to kill is way stronger than their will not to laugh. So I just go up there, and right out of the gate, I'm just throwing lightning bolts at these people. I'm just racking them. Place going crazy. I get up. There's this hot chick with her mom, and I run up to her mom, and I'm like, let me do coke out of your asshole. And the whole place is going fucking nuts. Flame throwing the room, man. It was great. It was great to do. I get off stage. Brett Ernst's like, you just crushed that shit. I'm like, your turn. So I'm in the back, and I'm high-fiving everybody. They bring Brett up on stage. Brett's doing his act, and all of a sudden I hear, oh, hey, okay, fuck, what? Oh, my God. Okay, hey, dude, stop doing it. And Brett is suddenly, during Brett's act, Scratch and the cop get in a giant fist fight with each other. Brett's Comedy Store, old school, he starts doing play-by-play on stage of the act going down. He doesn't even break up. He just goes John Madden on this thing, like, boom! Screech takes a swing, takes a hit, Screech grabs him, punches back, cop starts swinging back. Dude, it's the most hilarious thing I've ever seen in my life. I run out, I'm like, what the fuck? And I don't know what it is about me, but I always want to jump in the middle of shit and stop people from fighting. I always want to be the fucking hero. Even though you punch me once, I'm probably going to shit my pants. I mean, I've been in fights my whole life, but there's a reason I stopped, and it's I don't like it. Don't hit me in my face. So I run in there, I stop it. The security comes, and there's like 30 of them, and they walk the cop out. Like five of them walk the cop out. I'm trying to talk Scratch down. Scratch is obviously pissed because he didn't do anything. This guy just ran up to him and started swinging on him. And he's like, I don't want to do the show. I'm like, yeah, you do. You want to do the show again? Just leave. And he's like, okay, I'll leave. Suddenly I look over, all the security guards run out. The fucking cops start swinging on the security guards. So now you got real cops fighting fake cops. And that was one show. And Brett just did his whole act and crushed. And then my buddy Alex went up after and just destroyed the room. So it was a great night of comedy, a lot of fun, and it was a lot of fun. So on the ride home, someone sends me a link of, excuse me, of Artie Lang getting in trouble. Apparently, he put out a tweet that got him in big trouble with the internet, who get angry about everything. Now, the tweet basically was to the host of ESPN's First Take, and her name is Gorgeous. She's like Carrie Champion. She's a gorgeous sister. On that show is Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith. Artie Lang, obviously, have you heard of this controversy? Put out a tweet basically saying how he fantasized about role-playing with her, and it's a 12 years a slave, and at the end, she beats the shit out of him. She runs off. He jizzes. Everybody's happy. People go fucking nuts on Artie Lang, and they basically, he loses his gig going on at midnight. He loses, Comedy Central says, no, we can't have that. You can't be associated with you right now. People go nuts. So I put something, someone sends me a link on Twitter, and I reply, a bunch of idiots getting angry about nothing. And then people go nuts on me. A couple of people go crazy on me. And they start screaming at me, and they're like, oh, you know, don't say that. It's like, it's offensive. It's offensive how not funny it is. It's offensive that he's even considered a comedian. And I'm like, I'm just someone that doesn't get offended by jokes. And it's obvious a role-playing joke. At no point did he say anything negative about her and her social status or anything like that. He's attracted to her. He wants to have sex with her. I've done the joke live on stage. But people are going fucking nuts on me. I'm trying to find some of these fucking quotes. It's so funny how stupid people are. And this one chick just starts going nuts on me. And why this whole internet thing and everyone's going crazy on Artie Lang? A story comes out that in Mexico, this mayor and his wife ordered the execution of 41 college students who were protesting the Mexican mob's crime. This is the same time it comes out. And another story comes out is that Qatar, which is trying to get ready for the next World Cup, is using slave labor from North Korea. There are slaves on this planet right now. People born, like you and me, have no free will, forced to build soccer stadiums for a nonprofit entity. And I send links to these people. I go, hey, man, I don't get offended by jokes. This offends me. You should get more offended by these two stories than you should by Artie Lang's role-playing joke. And they start going off on me. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're changing the subject. I go, no, that's your problem right there. That's your problem. You think it's a different subject, and it's not. What we're talking about are, what are you saving your energy for to get angry at? Dude, this mayor and his wife handed over 40 students who were protesting for peace to a deadly Mexican mafia who killed everybody. Like, is there a punishment that fits that crime? Is death of those two people, is that enough? That's not enough. It's not enough. When you kill 41 college students, that's offensive, man. That's crazy. And who's here? That's what I get offended for. And this guy's like, oh, you're changing the subject. I go, no, man, I'm not changing the subject. And then I started to notice this guy was just talking shit. And he literally goes, all you death squad faggots. You're a bunch of stupid guys. And I hope you all die. In response to him being offended about Artie Lang's role-playing joke. And then I started noticing every time anyone would say something to him, he would favor it. And then you just realize he's trolling you. And it's like, that's where we're at now. Fake outrage. Like, has anyone seen this Nicki Minaj video that everybody's going crazy about that they're trying to say is Nazi propaganda? Like, it's not. It's stupid. If you really want to get offended by something, get offended by that song. That song to me is the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. And the fact that it's called Only. Go look at the video. The fact that she puts out the word she's actually saying lets you know how clueless they are. They have no clue what the fuck they're doing. It's just a bunch of idiots out there. And they're just getting angry. And it's like, it's fake anger. I think these companies, these PR companies, these corporations make fake anger to get people to talk about shit. So I wanted to end on this real quick thing. And we'll go out. We got 10 minutes left. Then we'll get out of here. Can you bring up that video I sent you? I don't really watch the news. Don't sell you. I don't really watch the news except for when I come home and my girlfriend has the news on. And I'm trying to start this new movement where we stop someone you love from watching the news. Get one person to stop watching the news. And you know how much, if we all did that, the world would be a better place. Because all they want to do is scare the fuck out of you. That's all they want to do, especially women. If you go watch Nightcrawler, it's all about scaring the shit out of you. So I walk in, she has Rachel Maddow on, and I used to watch Rachel Maddow a lot until I saw her on Bill Maher's show, and I just stopped believing in what she said. I just feel like she never had a good point, and she always gets housed by the whatever Republicans on the show. I mean, she gets housed. If she didn't have home court advantage, she'd get drowned. She would get killed. I mean, she gets housed by these guys. But anyways, she brings up this story about this guy in Colorado who just got elected to federal government, who does public access shows and YouTube shows, and he wants to do an exorcism of Obama. So here's the audio from the Rachel Maddow show. I just want to play it for you guys real quick.
I want to discern the spirits here. And there is a spirit of hiding, a spirit of secrecy that is really just lawbreaking, and it's lawlessness. And they're doing all this secretly behind the scenes, and we're exposing that as really it's got its roots in a satanic evil spirit of violation, of tyranny, ultimately. Because here's what Jesus warned in Luke chapter 12. They're not going to keep their secrets from us. We're going to expose them as soon as we see them. There is nothing covered up that will not be revealed. Nothing hidden that will not be known. What you said in the dark, Mr. Obama, will be heard in the light. What you've whispered in secret rooms, we're going to proclaim that on housetops. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray against the domestic enemies of the Constitution, against this demon of tyranny who is using the White House occupant. That demonic spirit is oppressing us. Father, we command it to leave. We pray that you will help the president repent.
Newly elected Republican State Representative Gordon Klingenschmidt.
All right, that's
of
it.
Colorado performing.
That's cool. Oh my God. Just got elected. Someone elected that guy. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This isn't a religious bashing thing. I'm a spiritual guy. I've had problems with drugs and alcohol, man. I have a higher power. I do all that stuff. I pray every day. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm honest with you. I think it's stupid, but it helps me get through. But when you pray, and I do have a higher power, my higher power, and I've talked about on Kill Tony, is a black British lesbian who DJs in heaven and has the best cocaine. Like, I think that's what heaven's going to be. Like, whatever you can't do here, like, you really want to do, like, here on planet Earth, like, you just want to suck all the dicks, right? You're just like, ah, I just got it. There's not enough dicks. I just want to suck them all, but I can't because there's a rule that states if I want to go to heaven, I can't suck all the dicks. Well, in heaven, you're just going to be able to slob knobs all day. Like, and, like, in heaven, the coke is going to be so pure, man. I'm so excited. So that's my higher power, that there is a world that if you treat people right here, you ascend into this world. I don't really believe this, but I'm just kind of going with it. You know what I do believe in? I believe in the Jedi Force. It's the best way to describe what I believe in, which is the energy you put out is energy you get back. If you put out bad energy, bad shit happens. You put out good energy, good shit happens. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. Sometimes good things happen to bad people. But for the most part, you put out positive energy, good shit happens. But then we got this dipshit over here. And that's not an indictment against religion, man. It's just this guy and his perverted view of the world who's actually so crazy that he thinks President Obama is got a demon spirit in him. Now, I'm not an Obama fan. I voted for him the first time. I don't like how he operated. So I voted third party the second election. I went with Jen Stein from the Green Party. I will never vote Democrat or Republican ever again. I've said that last year. I won't. But this is ridiculous. The fact that this guy is like thinks this guy's a sinner. I mean, it's almost 2015. Are we really talking sins? Like sins really exist? Like, let's talk about what was around. Where was science back when people believed in sins? There was a time if you had a headache, you know what they said you do? Knock a hole in your skull, release the demons out of it. Yet we still believe in that shit? It's unbelievable. And then we elected this guy. This guy got elected to office. I cannot believe that people did that. With the internet that's out there, there's so much. And there's so much information out there. Like, whatever you think is a sin and illegal, somewhere it's legal and everybody's fine. Colorado did it. They just made weed and gay marriage legal. There's some high dudes butt fucking right now. There are any lightning bolts coming out of the sky. Flying monkeys aren't going around snatching children. The fact that you would even believe in that stuff is crazy. But here's the thing that cracks me up. He wants to have an exorcism to basically get Obama out of office. That's what he wants. Do you know who wants Obama out of office more than anybody else? Obama. You don't think Obama is crossing off the calendar to today's to the after party? And that will be the greatest after party ever of all time. Because no president has ever been that young, looked that good, and gotten out of office. Right? This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. Day one after his presidency's over, bye-bye, Michelle Obama. Cutting the fucking dead weight here. And he's going to go on an ass-tapping tour like we've never seen in our life. Obama will be courtside with Jay-Z. He'll be backstage at Lil Wayne concerts. He'll be doing fucking town hall meetings on BET. He'll be it's going to be the life. He'll be fucking doing co-stars with Kevin Hart. He'll be in the celebrity basketball game. He's going to be on episodes of the Basketball Wives. He'll be eating Iggy Azalea's ass after she dumps Swaggy P. You think he wants to be in office? This guy can't wait to get out. He can't wait. He is going to be living the best life ever. He's going to be drinking Cristal after parties. He's going to be hanging out with LeBron in Cleveland when they win the championship. He'll probably be doing tag teams with fucking LeBron James. Just Obama, the number one G, hanging out running with Jay-Z and Drake. By the way, Drake is the worst human being on the planet. I mean, dude, Canadian rapper dressed like a grandpa, you're dead. You're done to me. So that was my rant. I'm very excited. I wanted to get that rant out before everybody says that, because that's just a premise you know is going to be done 1,000 times. So that is an hour of Triple E Power. This has been The Naughty Show, a.k.a. Twisted. Soon be out on All Things Comedy. Unless they don't want me, then I'll go start my own fucking podcast channel with crazy cat people. So that's it. Go check out, if you're in Sacramento or in North Cal, come see me at the Punchline. We got some Punch Drunk t-shirts about to be coming out. Check out samtribbley.com for all my tours. Check me out on Instagram, @samtribbley, Twitter, @samtribbley. I got to up my game, dog. But I love everybody. I'm really thankful. Again, if you have any notes, anything you want, I love to have feedback, both positive and negative. I really appreciate you listening. And we'll catch you next week on another episode of Twisted. All right, guys. Thank you for letting me come use the studio. All things comedy, tubestarter.com. $5. Make you holler. We'll see you on the other side. Thanks for listening, because without you, we'd just be talking to ourselves. And remember, always support your local rebellion. Take care, everybody. Bye.